Welcome to Holy Cross. My name is Pastor Brian. Super glad that you are continuing to join us in this digital expression of worship. Listen, if you've stumbled across our YouTube page or this video, super glad. I don't believe that that's an accident, and I do pray that the experience you have is one that is powerful and overwhelmed by peace and joy and the love of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, for those of us who call this place home, a number of announcements that I want you to know about. First, we are offering an in-person Thanksgiving Eve worship service. That'll be on the night before Thanksgiving at 7 p.m. As a part of that worship service, we are continuing our practice and habit of ingathering either of Meijer gift cards or food items for our food pantry. And so for a detailed list of those things, you can see our Friday announcements, which came to you in your email. Now, over the next couple of weeks, there's going to be lots of opportunities, actually, to think about how it is we serve and bless the community. One of those ways is by writing cards to members of our congregation who are shut in. So be able to love on them and encourage them in this season. So continue to collect those. We also have a food truck distribution coming up at the beginning of December, and we need volunteers who can give of their time and energy to that particular ministry. So lots of ways, actually, to be serving our community in these days. Finally, November 22nd is Holy Cross's Commitment Sunday. It's a day when we recommit our hearts and our lives back to the Lord. Now, you should have received in the mail. If you haven't, it should be on the way. And if you haven't, please, please, please let us know. We want to get it to you. You should have received in the mail a letter detailing the things of the commitment card and also this commitment card. If your plan is to be at home on November 22nd, then can we ask you this? Can you fill this card out and send it back to us before the 22nd in that self-addressed, already stamped envelope? That would be a huge, huge help for us. So if you're planning to be home, feel free just to fill this out and then send it back in the envelope that we've provided. If your plan is to come to worship here in person on November 22nd, we want you to bring these cards with you, filled out and ready to go. Because when you come in, we're going to ask that you lay these cards on the altar before you're seated in your pew. We want to lay those things before the Lord. So if you're coming in person, please bring this card and know that we're going to ask you to lay it on the altar before you sit in your pew. Two things I want to point out on the back of this card. There's two different things that we're asking for. One, of course, is kind of your financial commitment over the next year. But the other one, this top one, is for you to prayerfully think through how it is you can live more open-handedly in the year to come, how it is you can have a heart of hospitality, how it is you can be generous to those around you. And we know that when we write things, we're more committed to them. So we would love to read that, love to see that, love to know what's on your heart. So two places for you, one for financial commitments, and then two in this sort of heart commitment, behavioral commitment of what it means to live more open-handedly. Listen, enough announcements this morning. As we get into worship, let us call on the name of our God. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, let's pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you have given exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Dispel from us the works of darkness and grant us to live in the light of your Son, Jesus Christ, that our faith may never be found wanting. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's join together as we sing.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price.
Friends, as we continue in our series, this preaching series, One Another, One Another, last week we heard from Peter, and this week, our text comes to us from James. James chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, we have the opportunity to profess our faith together. These words which have been passed down through the centuries, the words of the Apostles' Creed. And friends, when we do that, when we profess our faith together, we say that this we believe in one heart and one voice. And what it is we believe, friends, dictates our behaviors. So friends, let's profess these words together here on screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Likes to be constipated. I know you're wondering, did he really just say constipated? Are we really going there? I think I liked talking about religion and politics better. This is really getting personal. Yep, we're going there. Let the shock wear off. I'll ask it again. Anyone like to be constipated? Just raise your hands right where you are. Yeah, me neither. Can we all admit, though, that sometimes it just happens? What you eat, the medications you're taking, don't drink enough water. Sometimes we ignore what our body's telling us or find ourselves in a situation where we can't be honest with what our body's telling us. You know, teacher won't let you go, middle of a meeting, middle of your shift, and it's uncomfortable and it's not sustainable, but it happens. Am I right? And the longer you stay there, the worse it gets. Now, at some point in your life, someone had to tell you that this is what's going on. This is why you're hurting, son. Ignoring it is not a good long-term option. Relief is possible and preferable, but you got to pause. You got to slow down. You got to let go of it. And God has actually built in this discomfort to our physical bodies so that you do what is good for you, so you make it a priority to stop holding back, to be honest about what's going on, so you're past doesn't cramp your present or stop up your future. Yeah, I couldn't help myself. Sorry. But get this. With the same compassion that a kind parent helped each one of us understand the realities of our digestive systems, the Holy Spirit inspired James to pen the encouragement that's our focus for today. With that same compassion, he writes, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I know, it doesn't seem all that novel, earth-shaking, or amazing. No more earth-shaking than the advice to alleviate constipation. Yet, both need to be said because sometimes, to the one experiencing them, it's not always so obvious. Particularly when it comes to confession, it's simple, but not easy to do as James encourages. Confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. Or said differently, live open-handedly with your sins and your sinfulness. Be open-hearted with another believer to let your sinful desires and thoughts and words and deeds be known. To admit what is particularly troubling, what you'd wish had never been, or never been thought, never happened, what you're ashamed did or did again. It's not that easy. And honestly, even with the promise of healing being offered, I imagine many, if not most, read those words and balk at the idea of being so vulnerable, so open. I know I do. And maybe you even wonder, is the healing that is promised that'll come from this really worth it? Maybe it's better if I just hold it. We're in week 2 of One Another, one another, a series where we're exploring the exhortations given to the church, the people of God, on how we get to live and relate to one another because the power of God lives in us, where we're exploring how the people of God that know Jesus' words and wills and will and ways then get to make him known to a world that doesn't know him. Last week, God spoke beautifully. If you didn't catch Pastor Brian, please go back and take a listen. God spoke beautifully both through Pastor Brian's humor and his humility as he encouraged us to embrace the act of hospitality as more than a house party. It's a heart posture and a hand posture that costs us something, and that Jesus has already poured on us this hospitality, like southern gravy on fried chicken, so that we can increasingly have the same posture of hospitality with one another. This week, it's open-handed confession and prayer. Again, an encouragement to the church that possesses the transforming power of the good news of Jesus. But what do we do with this? Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Well, as I see it, if we ignore it, to what extent are we like a person cramped with constipation, dealing with discomfort, but resisting the remedy? Or if we embrace it, what healing, health, or wholeness could there be for us? What could it do for our witness to the world? Let's pray and we'll dig in. Father, help us set aside our fears, our certainty that we have things figured out already. Grant us the humility to receive the gifts that you give the way that you give them. In Jesus' name, amen. So James 5:16, let's read it in context. I hate to cherry pick anything out. So this is the chunk, starts at verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone among anyone in good spirits? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you ill? He should summon the elders of the church, and they should pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great effectiveness. It's an encouragement to pray. Not just elders, but everyone. Pray. It works, he's saying. It heals. God delights to give and forgive and heal. So confess and pray so that God can heal. Now, I don't know about you, when I first read those words and I think about laying out of hands and anointing with oil, I think about like people in hospitals that need healing, like the physical body. But that's not all that James has in view. When he says suffering and sick, it's also about spiritual and emotional well-being. So this is discovery number one for today. Cling to this. Sin can create sickness and suffering, which maybe as you think about it, isn't all that surprising. We know from God's word that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the dark forces of evil in this world. We know from our experience in this world that anxiety and depression are real pain and real suffering. But have you ever put the two together? Ever considered that your mood, your emotional struggles, they could be your experience because there are sins that still have a hold on you? Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that all depression and anxiety are the result of unconfessed sin or sin's ongoing grip of guilt and shame. What I am saying is that sickness and suffering can result from sin held in, a close-fisted grasp on it, where the healing good news has not yet fully brought release and relief. And James isn't the only one to talk this way, so we can't say this is some oddball, isolated kind of thing that we would confess our sins to one another. King David speaks of confession and of the sickness that comes from it in Psalm 32. The context is he's essentially tried to get away with adultery and murder and pretend like no one is the wiser, and he looks back on what his experience was like. First, he says, how blessed is the one whose rebellious acts are forgiven, whose sin is pardoned. How blessed is the one whose wrongdoing the Lord does not punish and whose spirit there is no deceit. He's like, there's so much good to be found in forgiveness. And he looks back and says, when I refuse to confess my sin, My whole body wasted away. There was physical suffering. I groaned in pain all day long. For day and night, you tormented me. You tried to destroy me in the intense heat of summer. And then I confessed my sin. I no longer covered up my wrongdoing. I said, I will confess my rebellious acts to the Lord. And then you forgave my sins. For this reason, every one of your faithful followers should pray to you while there is a window of opportunity. Same wisdom coming from King David. Confess, because there's pain if you don't. And the opportunity is that you don't have to hide. You don't have to fake it. And you get to know going into it. Before you let yourself be vulnerable, before you put it all out there, that your open-handed confession will be met with open-handed love. Met with love and welcome from the one whose love and welcome matter most. Your judge, your God, your generous Father. He meets your confession with this. I love you no matter what. All my anger, all the punishment that your sins deserve was already unloaded on my son. All your shame, all your guilt for what you've done and not done, said and not said, all that you've thought or even the things you've returned to that you said you'd never do again, he took all of that. And all the shame and guilt that go along with that. And he took them to the cross and he carried it all so you don't have to carry it anymore. Maybe one of the clearest places where this is spelled out is Isaiah 53. Speaking of Jesus, foretelling what would be, he says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. Same word that James uses. By his wounds, we are healed. Say it with me. By his wounds, we are healed. So quit clenching down. Quit holding on to it. This is what Jesus said in many and various ways, time and again, through his time here on earth. He aimed to help people let go. So that they could admit, so they could confess, so that they could be healed. And we get to pick up where he left off. And he left a great example. Matthew 19 is a good one. A rich man comes to Jesus. Man came up to Jesus and he asked, this is Matthew 19 starting at verse 16, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" Jesus responds, "Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said, "what do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad. Because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The man went away sad. He walks away bloated, still holding on to what hurts him. He wants what God can give, but he holds on to what he has, constipated by the cares of this world. Jesus invited him to open his heart, to see what he doesn't see yet. Admit that his treasure is in his wealth and not in the punishment that brings him peace. The reality is, all the things that made him bloated, Jesus already bore. All the things that he was unwilling to expel, Jesus took in himself to the cross. And friends, I want you to know as well, even our unwillingness to confess, our reluctance to do it, our insistence that we're okay, our pride that keeps us from doing it, and all that we'd rather not admit, like this rich man. Jesus bore the pain of being filled with all of these. And taking up our pain, by his wounds, we are healed. And Jesus exhorts us with this in mind. Don't wait. confess your sin and be healed. And Matthew 5 even says it's more important than going to church. Matthew 5, 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. First go and confess your sins to them. First go and confess and ask for forgiveness and let them pronounce it to you and then come and offer your gift. Secondarily, if you see a sin in a brother or sister in the faith, call it to their attention. Matthew 18, starting at verse 15, if your brother sins, brother or sister sins, go and point out their faults just between the two of you. And if they listen to you, you have won them over. If you point it out and they confess, then you get to speak this good news of wounds that are now healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say later on in that same chapter, truly I tell you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If the forgiveness is given, you get to deliver it like Jesus did. This is confirmed as well in John 20. If you're uncomfortable with this, think it's only a pastor thing. No, Jesus speaks this to all of his disciples, that we are like his disciples now too. John 20, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. Jesus has set it up so that we would be blessed through one another, that we need one another to help get us all the healing that Christ gives. It's why James is so pointed in this. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, what does this mean in practice? Well, as best as we can understand this text, it's not bare your soul to everyone. It's admit your failings to someone. Admit specifically what you've done or not done so that they can pray specifically for and proclaim that Jesus suffered for those sins and you are healed from them. Because there is something different in another proclaiming this to you. There's just something that you, some things you can't tell yourself. Trust me on this. Try it. Let someone do it for you. It is powerful. And if you have a chance to do it for another, it is an honor to deliver this good news. The good news that your sins don't define you. They aren't who you are. Your Father loves you and welcomes you with open arms. He knows everything you've done, so you might as well admit it. James is encouraging. You need someone to say these things to you. You need to tell them where the healing needs to be directed. Confessing your sins generally, like we typically do, only in the words supplied in the worship service, it isn't the same. Hearing your sins declared forgiven generally, like in the course of the worship service, is not a substitute. This is how we're to love one another in the family of faith. This is how we one another. We proclaim this healing into one another's brokenness and shame. And there is healing to be found there. This is the truth that James is laying out. And I know it seems odd to us because our experience has been so far, if you've only been in the church service kind of setting for confession and forgiveness, it's weird that it would come some other place and from some other mouth besides that of the pastor, but this is your gift to give as well. But realize this, early in the church, when the church was just getting going right after the time of Jesus, they didn't have confession and forgiveness liturgies in their worship services, not from what we can tell. One to another was the way that it happened. It was only later on that confession became a part of a worship service. But even then, in the history of our church, individual confession was highly prized and a part of the fabric of being a follower of Jesus. And it wasn't just a Catholic thing. It's what it meant to be a Christian. And we've lost that along the way to some extent. But I hear in this God reminding us there is much to gain. But I'll be honest, this makes me uncomfortable. Uncomfortable because it leaves me asking myself, do I have this kind of Christian friend that you're 100% honest with and transparent with, Adam? Someone whom you've told your deep, dark secrets from the past that still plague you in the present, that still stir up shame, even though you know that you're forgiven of them? Someone to whom you regularly disclose your shameful thoughts and whatever plagues your conscience in the quiet of your confession? It leaves me wondering, Adam, if not, then how long will you wait for relief? How long will you hold off the healing? How long will you stay constipated? And I'll be honest, I don't have that person right now. I've not invited somebody to regularly be in that spot. I have in the past, but not currently. And it makes me wonder, am I in pain, but I don't call it that? Is it just normal for me now how things are, and it seems easier to leave it that way? Yeah, it leaves me wondering, like, what advice would I give to a kid that's resistant to it, that doesn't understand their body yet and has accepted that the pain of constipation is normal? What would I say to them? What encouragement would I give to them? And does the same need to be applied to me? How will I know until I try? Now, I hope and pray that you ask yourself the same questions and ask God to help you take steps in that direction toward healing, even if it's not for relief of your own pain. If you're fine how you are, do it for those around you who will get a better version of you because you're more free, because you're more solidly placing your identity in God's healing and not in your facade. You think that could bless your friendships, your family, your parenting, your marriage? I think so. Or maybe do it for the one who, in the future, by the grace of God, someday, you will welcome to be a part of the family of faith because of how God works through you. Someone who carries the shame of a lifetime of sin and will assume that they don't fit in with these other Christians who've been Christians for so long. See, I wonder if it would change the culture and feel of our fellowship, if this level of transparency is our common experience and full release of all our sin and shame is the inherent character of our community, would we be able to better meet someone right where they are if we've been honest about right where God meets us? I don't think it could hurt. So how do we get there? I got a couple suggestions. Number one, start confessing to God more specifically. Not even to another yet, but just to God more specifically, once a week in preparation for Sunday worship, and write it down. Do the hard work of picking the words that describe what you've done or not done. It doesn't need to be exhaustive, as if you don't name it, you don't get forgiveness for it or something like that. Just write what comes to mind. If you need structure, think through the relationships that Jesus lived in, up to his Father, into other believers, and out to those who don't yet follow Jesus. Or think through the responsibilities of your life, home, church, job, friends and family. And when you're done, take that piece of paper, crush it, and flush it. Crush it and flush it. And if there's a lot of pages, maybe a courtesy flush halfway along the way would be in order, I'm not sure. We don't want to have to get out the plunger for this. And as you do, replay in your mind God's promise. If you confess your sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Or if you prefer a simpler statement that calls to mind the constipation that would otherwise continue, you can just say something like, Jesus already took care of that stuff, and I don't have to let it cramp up my present or stop up my future. So start with writing it, crush it, and flush it. And then progress to praying it out loud, just to yourself still. Maybe you write them first, maybe not. But you get to hear what your voice sounds like as you speak those words. God, I confess to you that I, and you lay it all out. And you wrap it with a powerful prayer. Lord, help me trust that you are faithful and just, and you do forgive my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, because by Jesus' wounds I am healed. And this will prepare you so that you can ask this question, friend, trusted Christian friend, would you let me confess to you, and would you speak of the good news of Jesus to me? Ask a friend, a parent, a grandparent, that uncle or aunt, coach, youth pastor or youth leader or pastor. And it's going to be weird for the first handful of times. Maybe initially you only hand them your paper, the list of what troubles you most, and they proclaim forgiveness to you and pray with you that you'll trust that by Jesus' wounds you are healed of all of them. And in time, you'll be able to speak those words of confession, to live open-handedly and hear it from your own lips before another, open-handedly with your sins and your shame in the presence of another Christian. And increasingly, you'll experience what God led James to reveal. You will be healed. Let's pray. Father, give us courage to to face our fears of confessing to one another, of what others might think of our sins or of us if we lay them out there. And Lord, in open-handed confession, help us to cling to the only identity that's true and brings freedom. Forgiven. Daughters and sons of God, forgiven through Jesus is where the healing begins. Amen.
Friends, having heard God's word and the truth that when we confess our sins together, there will be healed, let us join in confessing our sins to God using the words of Psalm 51, which King David wrote when he was confronted with his own sin. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, let's join in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for the healing you provide through the work of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the community of faith and the power that comes with sisters and brothers who listen to our confession. We ask that you would so strengthen us to live lives of repentance now and until Jesus returns. Father, in your goodness, hear our prayer. Good Father and great physician, we implore you, we beg of you to eradicate COVID-19 here and throughout the world. And while we understand the creation is broken, we boldly ask as we long for a time and place without disease or sickness. And Father, for all of those in our family of faith who are plagued by sickness, disease, cancer, depression, panic attacks, anxiety paralysis, we ask just as boldly that you would bring healing and restoration of body, mind, and soul. And in the waiting, we ask that you would provide the strength which can only come from you, Almighty God. May this present suffering remind us of the suffering of our Lord Jesus and comfort us knowing he's gone before us, that we might have life, his life, and have it to the full. Father, in your goodness, hear our prayer. Lord of the church, we are bold to profess one church on earth, a holy communion of saints where the forgiveness of sins is given, where the resurrection of the dead is proclaimed and life everlasting is held in hope. We are thankful to be a part of this church, this global gathering of Jesus followers. Continue to expand our imagination and longing for one church with many languages and skin tones and backgrounds and ideologies, yet centered and rooted in Christ Jesus. Keep us ever mindful of our brothers and sisters around the world who are persecuted because of their faith. May they always have our prayers, and may their lives be an example for our own. Father, in your goodness, hear our prayer. Lord of the nations, your scriptures tell us you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. We pray for those who have been sent by your call to tribes and nations around the world. We thank you for their courage to go, their response and obedience to your call, for their kingdom world to see more and more people embrace the good news of Christ. We pray for Nora and Leon and their continued work in Haiti. May the work of their hands and the words of their mouth be the tools you use for your kingdom. Father, in your goodness, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, we pray for those who walk in the doors of Holy Cross and need help. We pray for the strength to be good hosts to our community. We pray that they feel the open-hearted and open-handed hospitality of those they come in contact with. We thank you for all of those in this family of faith who give of their time and energy to serve the community through hand-to-hand, through the food pantry, through our food distribution truck. Father, continue to break our hearts for those who are in need. Father, in your goodness, hear our prayer. For these prayers and all the other prayers, we lift them to you, trusting in your mercy through and for the sake of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
When you found me, I was so blind. My sin was before me, I was swallowed by pride. But out of the darkness you brought me to your light. You showed me new mercy and opened up my eyes. From the day you saved my soul, till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul, oh, when a brilliant light is all around, and endless joy is the only sound. Oh, rest my heart forever now. Oh, in your arms I'll always be found. From the day you saved my soul, till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul, my love is yours, my heart is yours, my life is yours. When I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my, from the day you saved my soul, till the very moment when I come home, I'll sing, I'll dance, my heart will overflow. From the day you saved my soul,
friends, it has been good to be with you again today. We trust and hope that God's word is working in you to his glory now and always. And so, friends, go with the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. And now go in his peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.